Oh, my. That brings back a lot of memories. Powerful song we used to sing back in the day. But it's not a just back in the day song. It's a today song as well, right? I just want to start off. I want to start off by saying just thanks, everybody. Thank you, church, for standing behind Carrie and myself. We feel so blessed that we get the privilege of pastoring such an amazing congregation. And we don't take it for granted. We are extremely blessed that you listen to all these messages. We're so thankful for the many people who've come through here whose lives have been set on fire and are out doing some great things for God in the kingdom. But I want to say thank you to all of you, all those that were in the tape and the video, all of you who've stood behind us, cared about us, loved us, cared about this place, cared about this vision, and wanted to see it continue on, and we wouldn't be here without all of you. So I just want to say, we are so grateful, we are so humbled, and we are so thankful that you are a part here. Thank you so much. Well, this is our very first capital campaign that we've ever done. Why are we doing this? I'm supposed to tell you why. He just said, go out there and tell him why we're doing this. Because God has called us on a faith-filled stewardship adventure. God called us. I didn't call us. I was trying to find a way not to call us. Because I know it's putting us all on the line, all of those things. Hey, just float on out into oblivion. No, that's not what God called us to do. God called us. God. I didn't. God did. That makes it a God thing. That makes it a God thing. That means that God will be with us. He will be enabling us. He will be blessing us. And He will be providing the provision for us. That means it's a God thing. So we can look for Him to do that in all of this. That He's going to bring blessing. He's going to bring enabling. He's going to bring the provision. As we step out in faith and believe God will do something, God is going to do it. It's a God thing. I thought even game day was a God thing. My gosh, game day comes here and we've already got our own buzz and then we magnify it by 1,000. I mean, or 100,000. In game day, I thought, wow, God, you could have picked any time out of the 15 years to do game day here. You pick the same day we're going to do our launch? How crazy is that? And you know what? I think about this provision and all that. Do you realize how many people rented their homes and made a lot of money renting their homes? How many people rented their RVs? How many people rented their driveway? We had people renting their driveway. We had people renting homes that had no furniture in it, had no stove, no fridge. We had people, they wanted anything. And I thought, how cool that God at the start of all of this said, you need provision? Oh, I'll bring stuff. I'll make stuff happen that will bring you the provision. Just trust me and do what I've asked you to do. I was dumbfounded. I go, my gosh, this is a God thing. God did this. And He's showing us at the very start, I will provide for you. What more will He have to provide for us? It's going to be exciting to look at all of the stories and things where God provides and God does. Because we're believing Him for it. That's the second part. It's faith-filled. It's a faith-filled. We're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Not our fears, not our circumstances, not our disappointments, not our failures. But we're allowing God and the Holy Spirit. And as a result, our faith begins to grow. As we begin to exercise it. So that we as committed Christians might pray audacious prayers, believing for impossibilities and live with new boundaries because we push the boundaries out further. The things we started believing for, we just kept pushing them out further, pushing them out further, pushing them out further, and believing God to do something great. Because He is. We're to be stewards, a faith-filled stewardship. Stewards, right? We're stewards. We're managers of God's stuff. We simply hear God and obey. Our job is to hear what He wants us to do with His stuff and simply do with His stuff what He wants. And that's an awesome thing. And it's an adventure. An adventure, a great adventure, fun and exciting, thrilling. It's going to be game day all over for 27 months. How cool would that be? Don't plan on eating at any restaurants through the next 27. No, I'm just kidding. What a cool adventure and experience. And God's letting us know, I'm behind you. I'm behind you. I'm a one kingdom guy. I believe in one kingdom. We talked some messages about that, a one kingdom. And the Lord has taught us to pray in Luke 11, 2 and 3. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We are praying, ladies and gentlemen, for God's kingdom to come. We're one kingdom people believing in one kingdom adventures, one kingdom aspects, and we're asking God's kingdom to come to permeate our society, to be the ruling factor, the ruling force in all of the affairs of mankind. We want His kingdom to come, and it will come if we pray for it and believe for it. Amen. Your kingdom come. Kingdom come. God's called all of us to participate in the adventure of advancing and growing His kingdom in the earth today. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says this. Because we're supposed to advance His kingdom up to the very end. And 1 Corinthians 15:24 says this. Then comes the end. For all of us, the end's going to come. It's going to come. The credits are going to start to roll. He's saying here, the credits are starting to roll here. The end, da-da-da-da, and all the credits are starting to roll. When He, Jesus, delivers the kingdom of God, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When He puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. You see, there is going to come a day when we're asking His kingdom to come. We're asking His kingdom to come. And kingdom realities and kingdom principles are coming. And they're growing in our life. And we're walking more and more in them. But there will be a day when it will be just that. When Jesus Christ will deliver the kingdom to His Father. And all principalities, all powers, all other foreign things will be done away with. And there'll be one kingdom walking in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. I want to be in on that. Amen. I want to do my part to help advance it and bring it to the time when Jesus can deliver it to His Father. Amen. Our job as a church is to continue to push that kingdom further, to do all that we can to be a part of what it means to bring it so that Jesus can deliver it to His Father at the very end. I want in on that. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. I want an active part. I want them to know, hey, I'm in that. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in for the kingdom. An adventure. An adventure to the end. I want it to be an adventure to the end of my life. Because I desire to hear Jesus say in Matthew 25, well done. I long to hear Him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done. I just want to hear Him say, well done. I just want to push the kingdom, develop it, grow it, do my part in it, walk in it. So at the end of it, He can say, well done. Hey, good job of leading the church. I really want that. I want to do a good job. I want to do a good job personally, my part of advancing His kingdom. Well done. I want to enter His joy. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That word servant is the doulos, servant, the slave. The one who's a slave. The one not asking for rights or, hey, I want time off or no, I don't want to do that. No, that's too much. No, I want some for me. I want something for me. No, a slave. A doulos. I love this other definition. In the Greek, it says, pertaining to a state of being completely controlled by someone or something else. I want to be possessed by Jesus Christ. I want to be looking and go, my God, that man's possessed. Yeah, I want to be possessed with Jesus Christ. I want Him controlling my life. Our 2020 vision, living free, living faith. Why now? Why? We want to advance it. Why now? Why are we doing this capital campaign now? Because in 2020, December of 2020, we have a $2.7 million debt. We believe that God is saying, I want it canceled. And 2021 is our year of Jubilee, which is an amazing fact. We want to be debt free by 2021. Finish it up in 2020. That's why we're doing it now. That's why God called it to do it now. Because we have four things we want to see happen. We want to see more campus and community outreach staff. We want to do more to help advance His kingdom. If we cannot service a debt and then service paying staff and other things and missions, all of that, we can put money over here rather than over here and servicing a debt. I believe we're supposed to have more campus and community outreach staff. We have 60 some involved in Carpenter Series. 60 some kids, man, I am so blessed by them. I'm so blessed by them. Not just kids, there's community folks, there's everybody up there. We have 60 to 70 folks go through every year. Then we'll have second semester, there'll be another crop of folks coming in. So we're always training, we're developing, we're growing. We need more and more staff to reach more and more people because we can have 100 up there, then maybe 150 up there, then maybe 200 up there. We just need to continue to grow and do our part to move the kingdom further. Toward where Jesus Christ hands it over to His Father and says, hey, look at all the people that helped me. Amen. We want to do more missions work. We need to invest more money into missions. As a matter of fact, we've already done two more wells this year. We do two wells every year in Malawi. We just did our two wells. They've been drilled. They're done. And even while I'm speaking here, during their service this Sunday, for them, they are dedicating those two new wells and thanking you for what you did to cause them to be able to have living water. Right now, they're dedicating them right now. I thought, how cool is that? Lord, you're just putting everything together here. We need a Bible college and a mentoring training center to train up people because I believe there are a lot of pastors sitting out here that need to be pastoring and shepherding churches. They need to be developing and allowing their life to grow. And I believe we need to be planting churches. We need to be planting churches, not just in America, but all across the world. I believe that that's what God has called us to. And that we get the privilege of helping advance His kingdom and moving it forward. This is an opportunity to partner with God for something great and an opportunity to see something great happen for His kingdom. What I'm asking is that you would ask God, then respond in obedience to what He wants you to do, what He wants you to be, what He wants you to give, what He wants you to steward. Ask God. Ask God. Do what God has asked you to do. And then what's the result? The result of this 2020 vision, I see three things happening. Number one, the kingdom of God has advanced. The more we can do to help advance the kingdom, the further along the kingdom continues to grow. We want to do that. We advance the kingdom of God. Secondly, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. Our level of faith will rise so we can believe God for more and more personally and corporately. Because I believe this, God wants you to do, be, and walk in more faith than you've ever walked in before. I think He wants us to believe Him more than we believed Him. And then all of a sudden we see God, we see something that's impossible and God does it. All of a sudden our level of faith begins to rise and we start believing Him for more. We start doing more. We start walking more. We start walking with an attitude of, yes, God can. And we believe it and God does it. And we get to rejoice in what happens. We're not going to be the same. He is asking our faith to rise, not just for this occasion, but for our life. He's just using it as an opportunity. And thirdly, and finally, as we bring this to a close and we invite our guest speakers, the Lord will be amazed at your faith. The Lord will be amazed at your faith. I take this from Luke 7:9. In Luke 7:9, it's the centurion. He's got a sick servant and he cares about his servant and he loves Israel. He loves the people. And they go to Jesus and ask him to come and heal the centurion's sick servant. And the centurion says, "Hey, I'm not worthy that he come, but you know what? He only needs to say the word. I believe that he only needs to say the word and my servant will be healed." And when Jesus heard that, here's what he says. Here's what he says in Luke 7:9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. In the Greek, that word means amazed. He was amazed at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This guy isn't an Israelite, yet he has more faith than you, believers. "I have not found such great faith." I want such great faith. I put three things personally that I want to see out of this for me. I want God to be amazed with my faith. Such great faith. I want God to say, "Well done," with my service to him. I want God's kingdom to be advanced with my life. Therefore, I'm saddling up my horses for the ride of my life. In church, I ask you to come on. Let's get ready for a faith-filled stewardship adventure. Amen. 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 We can do it, all right? We can do it.